stolen. That's how it worked. And if you type too fast, those keys would get all tangled up. And the IBM Selectric just totally just rejuvenated the typewriter. And it was state of the art. And on top of those typewriters, if any of you remember, it had a little tab that you pulled up to remove the ball, and you could put different fonts on that if you wanted to. And we used to, in typing class, just go around and we would pop up that little tab and wouldn't say anything. And the guy next year is typing away, and all of a sudden his little IBM Selectric ball would just ping, and away it would go. And our teacher would get so mad. And we would be typing. And of course, you're not supposed to look at your fingers. How many of you could type without looking at your fingers? Okay. How many of you have to look at your fingers? Okay, there's some, I just never could. I got to look and see, and my teacher would sit over there in such a scowl. I don't know what it was about our typing teacher, but she didn't have a very happy demeanor. She was always a little bit on the cranky side. And she'd just sit over there, and she'd just call out your name. You'd be typing away, Peter Sandin, stop looking at your fingers. And you're like trying your best not to, and it was always Roy Grant, Mr. Grant, stop looking at your face. I think I got up to 38 words a minute was the best. And I guess if I look at it, 38 words a minute is almost as good as a golf score in 18 holes. So my typing and golfing games were pretty close to one another. But so we look at a margin. I really rambled there, didn't I? Look at a margin. That's a space around the printed or written matter on a page. I have my notes up here today, and there's a margin on both sides of this page where the words just don't run off. So the amount allowed or available beyond what is actually necessary to allow a margin for error. Margin also can mean a limited condition capacity beyond or below which something ceases to exist, be desirable or be possible, the margin of endurance, the margin of sanity. And the last meaning is a border or an edge. So when you look at margins, are margins necessary? We ask ourselves in our lives, are margins necessary? And then we can ask ourselves, are margins biblical? Can I look into the Word of God, and can I find in the Word of God where margins are applied to humanity? Now, we can begin, when we look at Scripture, we can go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Right here is the first example in Scripture where God created a margin. And God blessed the seventh day. Understand something in this. Humanity wasn't even in the picture. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he had made it. He had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now we can go on in the Old Testament. We can go to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, and we can read, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, then rest. So we have another example of margin. The first example was God creating the earth and all the contents in the earth in the 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. And here we have amazing that there are 6 days in a week, and the seventh day of the week, God rested just like 6 days in creation. And that makes me wonder, if God would have taken 14 days, would we have a 14-day week? You ever wonder stuff like that? Maybe I'm the only one that does. So here, exactly what God did, he's taking and he's looking at his chosen people and saying, I want you to adapt the same exact margin that I adapted in creation, and I want you to adapt this in your into your everyday life. So God created and he commanded his people to live within a margin. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant or maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Oh, we can move into the New Testament and see where Jesus, many, many times in the New Testament, where Jesus lived within margins. We find one of the most intriguing stories of where Jesus went out on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and he fell asleep in the bottom of the boat. Remember the story? And a storm came up, and the disciples were afraid and wanting to know, where's Jesus, and what is Jesus doing? He's resting. He was tired. You got to be really tired to sleep in a boat that's in the middle of a storm that is enough to sink the boat. You got to be really tired. Jesus taught us. Many times he went up into the wilderness to pray because he wanted to get away from the pressures of ministry, the pressures of what his was things that were being pressured in his life, the crowds. So Jesus taught us that it is okay for us as humanity to have limitations. He grew tired. He grew weary. He sought after a place to rest. Thus, we as humanity, it is essential for us to carve out margins in what I would just say four various areas of our lives. It's important that we carve out emotional margins. It's important that we carve out physical margins. It's important that we call out or carve out margins for time and margins for finances. You see, Jesus was still busy, but it was all in the context of limitations. He was God in the flesh, yet he limited himself to the abilities he had within the flesh. Now, when we look at margin, you can read a lot of books about this. There are a number of really good books out there. Excuse me, but margin has been described this way. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. We all have loads that we carry in life. Every day we get up in the morning, we get dressed, we go to work. Why do we go to work? Why? Because we have a load that we are carrying, and it's called responsibility for our families. And we carry that load. Most of us will carry that load our entire life. You carry that load from when you first get your first job. I started my first job at 15 years old working at Burger King in Easttown Mall. And I've only been unemployed 1 week since I was 15 years old to today. 1 week out of that whole time, I was without a job. So we have our loads and we have our limits. So many times we like to take and push ourselves. We live in a society that it's almost it's a badge of honor to say, yeah, I worked 60 hours last week. I've worked a lot of long weeks. I've worked a lot of long days. There are times I've gone to work on a Thursday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning and didn't clock out till Friday afternoon at 3:30, 4 o'clock, worked straight through. I look back and think that was so stupid because I had a heavy load and there are limitations on what I can do and what I can produce. So when we look at this, we have to have a buffer zone, something that buffers us, a place where we can recharge our batteries. We have to have those margins in our lives. And a space where we can focus on what matters most. Unfortunately, most of society today struggle with the lack of margin. Now, I'm going to go over. I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time on each one of these points, but you can write these down if you're taking notes, and you can look this up and do a little bit of study on your own. But it's a question, some 10 questions that I want to ask each and every one of us tonight when it talks to determine whether or not you have margin or you're struggling with margin in your life. Number one, you have to ask yourself, am I always mentally and physically exhausted? Have you ever woke up in the morning after sleeping? Perhaps maybe you got a good 8 hours of sleep and you wake up in the morning and you are tired before you even get your body out of bed, and is all you're thinking about is at the end of the day when you can come home and crawl back into that bed. Can anybody relate to that tonight? I see a lot of smiles on some of your faces that, yeah, you're talking my language. You're reading my mail here. Am I always mentally and physically exhausted? There are times where I have found in my own life that my mind can go so many different directions that I become physically exhausted from trying to control the thoughts within my mind. Number two, do small things more easily get under your skin? Oh, yeah, my wife and I were sitting at the restaurant today, and while we were getting ready to pay our bill, a FedEx truck pulls up. I'm going to tell on myself here today. The FedEx truck pulls up and parks right in front of our truck in the parking lot. We pay our bill. We walk out, get in our truck. The FedEx truck is still parked there. We wait 7 minutes. I timed it before the FedEx driver came out of the dollar store with an armload of packages. And she looked at us, and I looked at her, and I'm kind of like, okay, can you move your truck just forward a few feet? Instead, she loads the packages in the truck and goes back into the dollar store. I reached the end of my limitations. My margins ran out, and I'm blowing the horn saying, hey, lady. We're sitting here, we're waiting. You just had to move your truck a few feet forward. She comes back out and she walks up, and as she walks across the front of her truck, I can see her mouth. You need to just have more patience. I thought to myself, what would she do if she get ready to pull out of the parking lot? And I just parked my truck at the entrance of the lot and sat there for 17 minutes. I think she would be getting out wondering, are you going to move or are you going to do something? Because I've never known a FedEx driver not to be in a hurry. So the small things, just little things in life get under your skin. I can't turn. Maybe you can't turn your anxious thoughts off. You're always at the edge of the seat in your thinking process. Number three, I don't seem to have the joy for life. I don't have the joy for ministry. I don't have the joy for serving God that I once had. These are ways you can tell if your margin is getting thin. I count down the days. Number four, I count down the days until my day off. Maybe it's Monday and you're going to work and you're thinking, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm off Friday at noon. Because I've worked enough hours and you're thinking already Friday at noon and you haven't got to work yet to start your work week on Monday. Yet even on the day off, you're still anxiously thinking about work. Number five, those who love me most tell me to slow down, yet I always have a comeback excuse. Has anyone ever told you, to our young people here tonight, our young couples that are just working hard to get yourself established in life, has anybody ever told you that maybe you need to slow down just a little bit and you always have a reason why you should be able to just go full bore? Number six, I often worry about what others think of my performance. Do you worry about what other people think too much? We live in a performance-oriented society where that if you don't perform at a certain level, you're very easily replaced. Number seven, I too easily take things personally. This is a big one. I've been in a lot of conversations over the course of my life, especially the last 10 years as pastor here at Calvary, and it's very easy sometimes to take things too personally. These are yes or no questions. I don't want you to take and write all kinds of long answers in there. It's just simply, I take things too personally, yes or no. Number eight, I find that I can't focus as well as I once did. I read a very interesting, it was a long study on multitasking. And in the course of this study, they came up with the results, basically, that humanity does not possess the ability to multitask. Yet we tell ourselves, oh, I'm good at multitasking. We do one thing, stop, do another thing, stop, do another thing, stop. You can't vacuum this sanctuary and shovel the sidewalk at the same time. You're going to be in one place or the other. It's very hard to multitask. And we find ourselves as a society, we find ourselves as Christians that we struggle with focus. So many Christians that I talk to today, so many of you that I talk to today, and you begin to talk about life and the struggles, and so many of these struggles fall down to your ability to be able to focus on something long enough to get it done. It's rough. Number nine, I get easily distracted. I get easily distracted. Distractions today are killing our society. I talked to an individual recently, and they're talking about the younger generation. I'm just throwing this out because I see this everywhere. Just go anywhere in any restaurant or any place of business and just watch people with their cell phones. People will go in and sit down at a table and get on their phone and have dinner, lunch, whatever it may be, and they're on their phone the whole time, and they get up and walk out, and there's two or three people at the table, and nobody even talks to each other because they're distracted. We have so many distractions. So many people now say, well, I'm not gonna take this job if I can't take and do my social media during the middle of the day. If I can't go on TikTok while I'm working, then I don't want the job. Oh yeah. Number 10, my devotional times with God are mostly dry. This is how you can tell if you're running out of margin. When you sit down at the end of the day or you start your morning and you pick up your Bible and you read it, are you reading it just to read it? Just to check off something on a devotional chart? Are your times with God I want to just throw this out there, okay? I don't have any other than just experience in life that if your times with God are dry and there's nothing there and you're just going through the motions, there's probably a good chance that your marriage is dry and you're going through motions. That relationships in your life, meaningful relationships, are become dry and you're just going through the motions. I found out if I align myself with God, if I put God first in my life and I do everything I can do to please God, then everything else will fall into place. Now, if a few of these in your life are consistently true of you, 3 of these out of the 10, you may need more margin in your life. And if that's so, what do you do? What's the remedy for all of this? So what are the dangers of not living with margin? Well, burnout. I've heard people say, well, he just burned out on ministry. I don't know that you burn out on ministry. I've thought of this a lot. I've thought of it burning out, rusting out. I heard someone say, I'd rather rust out than burn out. I don't really want to do either one. I don't want to rust out. I don't want to burn out. But a lot of times we burn out. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you have compassion fatigue, where your compassion, your passion for God wears out. Why does it wear out? Because you're not putting anything back into it. Years ago, we had a marriage seminar, and the husbands and wives, they talked about putting money in your bank, your marriage account. You put $5 here, 25 cents here, $3. You put money in, so when you need to make a withdrawal, you got money in there. And it's the same way with God. If you're not putting something into it, there's nothing to take out of it. So we have to be careful. Chronic overloading is often what we do when we forget who God is. We get our schedule so busy. You know, the kids have to have, and I'm not opposing any of this, if you can control it. But we have to have kids and soccer practices, and we have to have them in basketball, and they got to play baseball, and then they got to take, they got this activity and that activity, and all we're doing is running from here to there, constantly overloading our lives. So when I found myself with little margin, it always hasn't been easy to change things. So over the years, I tried many different things to help me in this area of life. And I want to hurry through this because I want to get this done tonight. So a few points of advice, okay? Admit that your life is too full and it's not good. You're not pleasing God. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your family, and it's not healthy for your marriage. I know our young people are in a class tonight. Some of you are in here, but if you can take and get a grasp on some of these things at young and you start to implement them or begin to implement them into your life, life will have a whole lot less complications. Learn the art of mindfulness. Be aware of it in the present moment without being harsh on yourself or worrying about what happened yesterday or fretting about what might happen tomorrow. There's a song, I believe it's Neil Diamond that wrote it or sang it. I don't know if he wrote it, but yesterday's gone. Don't stay around long, not much anymore. Anybody remember that? I think there's so much truth to that. So many times we worry about yesterday, what happened yesterday, you can't do anything about it. It's done. You can't do anything about tomorrow because it's not here yet. The only thing that we can live in is the present. right here, right now. We can't live in yesterday. We can't live in tomorrow. It's right here, right now. Meditate on the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. I want to encourage you to read Matthew chapter 6. You might look at it, you might start off thinking, what is all of this about? But when you get into it, you're going to find out that Jesus puts life into a completely different perspective than what most of us live or how most of us live our lives. Read the whole chapter. Read it all. Read it, apply it, and live it, and you will be better because of it. Take a day off. Oh, I've had times in life, and as I've said, I refer to myself a lot because I've never lived anybody else's life. Okay, so I don't know how Sister Claudia lives her life because I'm not living her life. And she's not living mine. So my life experiences are going to be different. Take a day off. Sometimes we feel like, oh, man. Took a day off, and I felt like this recently where that I felt like because I didn't do anything that day, I was being lazy. Ever felt that way? Feel guilty about that? I tell you, I told my wife in retirement, we're taking May and June off, going to do some traveling, and I said, one thing I want to do is just find a body of water somewhere I can put my lawn chair into it and plop my feet down in the water and just sit there all day long and not have to worry about doing anything. But you know, so many times we can't do that. Why? Because we have our phones and we're forever. Oh, 7:15, I got an email or I got a text message. Oh, it was Rick Solberg. Oh, he knows I'm in church. What's he sending me a text message 15 minutes after church starts, but it's him holding his little granddaughter. And we are constantly obsessed. I put this thing on my phone where it tells me how many hours I spend on my phone. You want a reality check? Put that on your phone. Let your phone every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, I get a ping and it tells me you have used 2 hours and 21 more minutes than last week. Turn it off. Do something that refreshes your soul. Oh, turn your mind off. This is so hard. I struggle with this. Turn your mind off earlier in the day than you do now. I've had trouble sleeping for years. I don't know if any of you have that. I mean, I've melatonin and I've tried the sleep aids. I try all this stuff, and it just doesn't work. And I'll lay there. I'll go to bed at 10:30, and I won't go to sleep till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm still looking at the clock. I get up 2 or 3 times, go have a bowl of cereal. Sometimes I take a walk and all this, and it's because I can't shut my mind off thinking about stuff. Most of the things I think about really don't even matter, but your mind is going. I found out that if about 8:30 at night is my trigger, so in 30 minutes I'm going to go into this cycle to where that I'm going to stop thinking and making decisions about today and tomorrow. Something you got to train yourself. You got to set that margin in your life. Perhaps you need to decrease your nighttime meetings or activities. This is just some advice I've learned. Maybe you need to establish some hard stops in your daily schedule and remind yourself that if you don't take care of you, listen to me, men, that work a lot of hours. If you don't take care of you, you can't take care of others. So what are the benefits? We're going to finish. I'm almost finished here. What are the benefits of living a life with margins? Well, number one, you're going to find you're going to have a lot more joy in your life. I want to ask some of you, when's the last time you literally just sat down and had a good hearty laugh? A joy-filled life, time to serve others. Time to serve others. You're going to have a lot healthier living, a lot less stress. Listen, stress, it's unbelievable. The health, the things that stress can cause in your health. I've battled through this from 2018, 2019, up until today. I'm still dealing with some of the residual effects of stress on your life. Healthy living, quality relationships. I don't mean looking on Facebook and saying, oh, I've got 388 friends. I knew that it was time to get off of Facebook when I had all these friends, and I haven't spoken to probably 99.8% of them in the last 10 years. Just because you have 500 followers on Facebook doesn't mean you have 500 quality relationships. One of the benefits of living a life with margins is having availability with God. You see, in the spiritual life, the word discipline means the effort to create some space in which God can act. So as we stand tonight, musicians can come in closing. This is part of a biblical leadership series that I've put together. Too busy to live, developing margin in your life. Ask yourself this question tonight. Have you lost your joy and passion? Do you suffer from dread? Do you just dread getting up in the morning? You dread going to work? You dread talking to certain coworkers? Are your relationships in your life, all the way from your relationship with wife or husband, children, to work, ministry, and God, are your relationships strained from stress? I had a friend a number of years ago that had a breakdown. It wasn't a mental breakdown. It was a physical breakdown. And he ended up in the hospital, and he spent 2 days in the hospital, and all he did was sleep. I thought of that. Sometimes do you find yourself wishing you could just check yourself in somewhere in a motel room, somewhere random that nobody knows where you are, and just check in and just go to bed and sleep until you just let the time pass? I can't answer any of these questions for you. These are questions that we have to answer ourselves. But I want to throw this out. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I want to paraphrase this and says, come to me, all who have resisted margins in their lives. Because if you resist margins, you're going to labor and you are going to be heavy laden. But Jesus says, come unto me, those who resist margins, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. There's a whole separate Bible study in that phrase right there. Take my yoke upon you. Paraphrasing it up, study it out. But you're going to find what they're talking about is Jesus is saying, my yoke, oxen were yoked together with a big heavy beam of wood. He's saying, my yoke, let me pull your load. Let me bear your burden. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, because I want to bear the weight, and my burden is light. So as our worship team begins to sing in closing here tonight, I just want to challenge you. Are you too busy to live? Is your life so busy that you're not enjoying living? I ask all these questions tonight to provoke you into thinking. I just want us to take time at the end of this service to just find a place to pray, maybe down at the altar, maybe in your pew where you're sitting. But ask yourself, Lord, am I too busy to develop margins? God bless you.